up here. You have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter number 27. As we last week celebrated Resurrection Sunday, and we have been looking at a series of messages on the cross, and so this morning I want us to think about after the cross. After the cross. The hour had finally come that the world had awaited for. The Father's love, as Isaiah chapter 53 proclaimed, has now been fulfilled. Redemption is wrought. We could read the last seven sayings or the phrases of our Lord there on the cross. In Revelation chapter 5, it talks about the song of the saints through all eternity ringing out. But then we come to after the cross. What happens at that hour when our Lord died and He gave up the ghost, as the Scripture says? And of course, I know it's kind of backtracking from what we celebrated last week, but what happened after the cross? After Jesus died there on that cross. Let's look at verses 51 through verse 54 of Matthew 27. It says, "At the moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After His resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were watching or keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, 'Truly, this man was God's son.'" Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for Calvary, for the remission of sin, how redemption was bought and paid for in full with that precious blood. And Lord, as we look at this message this morning, as we celebrated last Sunday of a resurrected Lord, a King, a Savior, who death could not hold. Lord, we are still celebrating even this hour that You are indeed a risen Savior. And Father, how much we glorify You in that, knowing that because of that, that we too one day will raise should we be passed before You come again. And Lord, we pray that as we look at this word this morning, everything that is said here would be honorable to You, God. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, if these dear folk not see me, God, but that they would see You. Speak to our hearts. Bring that one that is lost to repentance, that one that is backslidden, bring them to repentance as well. And we'll be careful to give You all the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what happened after the cross? Well, we see in verse 51 there that there was the veil that was rent in two, in half, from top to bottom, as the Scripture says. This goes back, if you wanted to turn there, you could, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, where it talks about this veil and some atonement. And I'll just read these verses quickly, if I may. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, "Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly sanctuary, for a tent was constructed The first in which there was the lampstand, the table, and the bread of the presence. This is called the holy place. And behind the second curtain was a tent called the Holy of Holies. And in it stood the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on the sides with gold, in which there were a golden urn holding the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak now in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go continually in the first tent and carry out their ritual duties. But only the high priest goes to the second, and he but once a year, and without taking the blood that he offers for himself and for the sins committed unintentionally by the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way of the sanctuary has not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tent is still standing. This is a symbol of the present time, indicating that gifts and sacrifices offered cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various baptisms, regulations for the body imposed until the time comes to set things right. But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the ashes of their heifer sacrifices those who have been defiled so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God to purify our conscience from the dead works to worship the living God. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, because a death has occurred that redeems from the transgressions under the first covenant. So this is the story of the veil, and this is what the purpose of Christ, and may I add that there is a whole deal that we could go into on the tabernacle and the tents and what each item within those, and Lord willing, we may can get into that at some point. But nonetheless, and how all of that, and of course that is Old Testament as well, ties back to Christ. Is that not exciting? Is that not something great? And so the writer of Hebrews here is saying that Jesus' blood, because he was the supreme, the perfect sacrifice, how that day of atonement was once a year for these people, and how that the priest came into the holiest place, the high priest. But then at Calvary, we see where this earthquake, where the veil was torn in two, that there was no longer that separation between us and God. Isn't that great? The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And by the way, you can research this. I forget all of the details, but these veils are not just some thin curtain type veils. These are some thick curtains that it would take an excessive amount of force to even tear, if even possible, by human hands. And so it took an earthquake to shred this thing in two. It was torn from top to bottom. And then the entrance now is not through the high priest. It's not through this curtain, this veil, but the entrance is through Christ. It's through Christ and his death there on the cross of Calvary. In Colossians chapter 2, it talks about how the law was now fulfilled. All of the sacrifices that had to be made, the once a year atonements, all of these things were done away with because of Calvary. We see the rent veil. But notice in verse 52, going back to Matthew 27, verse 52 and verse 53, the resurrection of the dead. Now this is something great, right? Can you imagine? Let's go all the way back to the time when this happened. Can you imagine? This was unheard of, right? This was not some conspiracy theorist coming up with some ideology about things happening. This was an eyewitness account of these things happening as Jesus was hanging there on the cross of Calvary. And we find here the resurrection of the dead, and that speaks over the victory that we have over the grave. And it speaks of the victory that Christ would in turn have over the grave in just a few days beyond this point. Speaks of that victory. Notice the graves were opened 3 days before the saints rose. Why is that? You ever thought of that? Why was it that the graves were open, but yet it took 3 days for them to come out of the grave? You remember in the scriptures where it talks about how Jesus went into the depths of the earth. Some translation says he, or some confessions and creeds talk about how he went down into hell. You know, there was before that Christ went to gather those saints. They could not be raised until he went. Remember where it talks about how he went to get the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So these saints would rise with Christ. And one of these days, there will be a time when we will rise should the Lord tarry his coming. And we pass from this life and we'll be buried. There will come a day when that cemetery will pop open. I've often said this, and I'll say it continuously because with all of my heart, I hope I'm alive during the rapture. And it's not because of doubt, but I just want to see it. I just want to see those saints that have died in the Lord raised. Because guess what? I know I'm fixing to go too, right? Because then those that remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Something was different about these graves since Christ had died. You know, a Christian grave is a place of anticipation. And I know as morbid as it sounds and horrific as it sounds, and it's not something that we're just necessarily ready to punch the ticket to get to today, but I'm just saying, you know, we should not dread those things because we know what comes next. We know what happens next, and what a glorious thought it is to know that when this life is over and all of the troubles that this life has, all of the aches and pains, right? Getting up in the morning is such a task now, right? I've said this, and it was jokingly in some regards, but not so much in others. I turned 36 Good Friday, actually, and you know, I came Sunday and I made a comment to some. I have more pops to me than Orville Redenbacher. You know, all the cracks and pops. As we get older, those things happen, right? We have all of these things, but a Christian grave, a Christian getting older, knowing what is ahead, knowing what is awaiting, a new body awaits us. The resurrection of the dead. But notice in verse 54... something after the cross here. Not only was the veil torn in two, which gave us that full access to God, the resurrection of the dead, knowing that we have victory over the grave. But notice the reaction of the centurion in verse 54. Those that were with him even, who were keeping watch over Christ, saw the earthquake and what took place. So they saw, they felt the earthquake, right? I think there was actually an earthquake this week up in the eastern coast. Some buddies of mine in Pennsylvania was talking about how there was an earthquake, New York, New Jersey, somewhere up in that area. The earth quaked. And this wasn't just a simple little magnitude that makes the Richter scale go a little bit. This was a massive earthquake. And he saw that, and all that took place, meaning all of this other, the darkness, right? The veil being rent into, the earthquake, all of this other stuff happening. And notice what it says. And they were terrified and said, truly, this man was God's son. How fitting that one should be convinced at Christ's death. Isn't it oftentimes in those times of turmoil, those times of desperation, those times of uncertainty that seem to draw us to Christ? You know, we have an eclipse happening tomorrow, and I've heard so much about it this week. I'm just thankful I'm going to work tomorrow, right? And if I get to see it, that's great. And if I don't get to see it, that's okay too. I remember one total eclipse in my life. I was in elementary school, and I remember being so excited because we got to go outside to see it because you couldn't see nothing because it was totally dark, right? I've seen signs on the way here this morning down coming through Memphis that said, you know, eclipse Monday. Don't stop. Keep traveling. You know, all these, because people are so crazy, right? But you see all these things happening, and you see sometimes this week, this is where I was going with that. I got off on a rabbit trail, didn't I? They told me that would come with age as a preacher too. We see all these things happening, and I cannot tell you how many times I have seen people say, the end is coming Monday. The end is coming, and it may, I don't know. I ain't worried about it, right? The end is coming because all the earthquake that happened, and now the eclipse is happening. The seasons is all mixed up, and while those are signs, yes, and while Christ could come Monday, yes, but guess what? He could come today. He could come before we get out of this place this morning. But it's something how these things seem to draw us to Christ, and it draws us to seeking out this redemption. And notice this centurion who was well educated, right? He had plenty of instruction, probably in religion and various other things. And he had all these people around him. He saw all these events happen, and then he says, truly, this man was the Son of God. Tradition says he became a preacher and eventually a martyr for the church. Kind of reminds you of someone else in the Bible, right? Remember Paul, who used to persecute the church as Saul, who had an experience with Christ. You could say a blinding experience, right? A wake-up call. Who became one of the greatest missionaries the early church had ever had. Who went from killing and persecuting to trying to save and deliver. The reaction. Notice in verses 57, we didn't read these, but just want to make a quick point here. In verses 57 through verse 61, it says, and when the evening there came, the rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also with himself a disciple of Christ, he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. And then he had rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite of the tomb. I want us to see in verses 57 through verse 61 that there was a great revival of the Christians. Joseph of Arimathea had been a secret disciple of Christ, one that maybe was in the background, so to speak. He wasn't necessarily public about it. He didn't go around. He maybe not seen with Christ, but nonetheless, he was a believer. He was a disciple. He was a studier, a follower of him. And then in John chapter 19, you will also find where Nicodemus goes public with his faith because of this, that there couldn't remain anything silent after standing at the cross. After seeing all they had seen, there was no way to remain silent. On the day of resurrection, when Christ rose from the grave, you remember how the ladies went to prepare the body, how they was going to go, and the, I would say, the early stages of body prep for burial, and so they would go, and yet they wasn't, he wasn't there, and what happened? They went back. I think the Bible actually says they ran back and to tell the community. They didn't walk. They didn't casually skip along. They ran back to tell the community that he is not dead, but he is risen. They couldn't remain silent. Jesus had stood still in judgment, and now they must walk for him. Jesus had kept silent throughout all of that judgment, but they must talk for him. Jesus himself had died, so they must live for him. And dear friend, that's the same for you and I this morning, that we must walk for him now more so than ever. We have some crazy folks out there, right? This society is full of crazy folks, and we know that we must walk for him. We must talk for him. We must live for him. I pose this question to you this morning. What has the cross done to you? You know, we look at a cross, you see all kinds of renditions of the cross and what depictions it is. And you've seen some really detailed paintings of Christ hanging on that cross. I really don't know that one could ever truly depict the gruesomeness of the cross. And as gruesome as it is to gaze upon, yet how beautiful it is. While it is yet a symbol of death, it is also a symbol of life. Because on that hung life, that death of Christ gave us life evermore. What has the cross done for you? How can you put off so great a salvation? How can we be weak in our dedication and our talk and our walk and our living for Christ? Can I encourage you to stand at the cross today, to lift it high and mighty? I saw a video, or I think it's a reel, whatever. I don't know all the modern, something on Facebook, a reel on Facebook. It's a short video. Anyway, about Christians, how through time they have become almost, they didn't want to say ashamed. I'm not necessarily saying ashamed, but we're so much hiding our faith. We don't want to pray in public. We sit in our pew, and I'm not saying here, I'm just saying we sit in the pews on Sunday and we pray, God, don't let the preacher ask me to pray. Right? We don't want to pray in public. We don't want to read our scripture in public. We don't want to do anything where others might see us and think something. We don't want to knock on doors afraid of what people may think. We don't want to knock on doors because we're afraid of rejection, right? We don't want to talk of our faith because we're afraid we might offend. That's the terms today, right? We might offend someone if we share the scripture. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure the apostles didn't care if they offended anyone or not. I saw another meme, and I'm going to hush on this one. And I forget the exact words of it, but nonetheless, it was something along the effects of, if Paul could see the conditions of the church today, we would all be getting a letter. You think he was harsh in his epistles to the churches? Imagine what he would write today. God would spew you out. Are we lukewarm? Are we hot? Are we cold? Where are we standing with Christ? Is he the center? Is he the epitome in our life? Or is he just on the back burner until casualty comes, until dismay comes, till problems come. What has the cross done for you? We'll extend a hymn of invitation. This is your opportunity to do business with God. Perhaps it's salvation, rededication, maybe simply to lift someone else up in prayer. We all have people we can pray for, right? We all know people that need a touch from God this morning. I encourage you to go to Christ and to simply lay whatever burdens it is that we have, all of our heartaches, our cares, our concerns, and just lay them at the foot of the cross and let Jesus do what Jesus does. Don't pick it back up and don't carry it back with you. Just give it to the Lord as we sing.